Hello. Happy Wednesday.
Yes, happy Wednesday.
Again, this week has just gone. Last night, I was on my way home and I was like, how is it Tuesday night? I don't know.
How's it almost July?
That too. We can consider this the end of June already. And I think that that's a little bit ridiculous.
Lisa.
Whatever. Yeah.
Conference is almost here.
It is. We are just weeks away at this point, and it is exciting. We are excited to host the nations. We've got people from all over coming in, and I'm excited about it. It'll be a fun time to be with everyone. And you and I have struggled because we keep like drifting and start making plans of different things that we want to do with different people from that they're going to be here. And it's like, oh, there's not
actually. I planned a whole thing forgetting that we had a conference, you know?
Yes. Forgetting
had that. Golfing trips planned and everything.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. I think that we need a full 2 weeks with the people that we know and love dearly to be able to do all of the things that we want to be able to do, just to spend time together. Why do we have to be so far apart?
This is weird. Me out. See the you and me thing.
What?
See, it's over on your side on here.
Oh, that's weird.
Isn't it?
Huh.
Sorry.
Hello, Lisa, and whoever else is on, say hello. My goodness, that's so rude. You can't just be a stalker. Say hello if you're watching.
Now they're like, I don't want to say that.
And now that I've accused everyone of being a stalker. Hi, Tabitha. Excellent, excellent. Okay. Should we jump in? Hi, Yvonne. Yvonne, I'm excited to meet you. Are you still coming? I have you down on the list. Are you still coming? I always see your name on different things, and I'm excited to. I get a little giddy when I get to meet new people.
She does.
Yep.
Hello, Jeff.
I get excited. Free. Yes. Hello. You guys are. Wow, they just did it. They said hello. Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, so we are talking about, we're in a series, kind of a reintroducing ourselves. We went through a season again where we were pivoting and God was just, you know, wanting to rearrange. For us, it feels like rearranging, but obviously for God, he knows exactly what it is that he's doing all along, just because we don't see.
He's aligning.
Because we don't see the things. For us, it feels like, oh my gosh, you blew it all up again. But if we could see it from God's perspective, I know that it would look like alignment. It would look like right alignment. So thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Okay. So commissional ally is what the topic is this week. And this is something that you and I are super passionate about, just because we were both raised up doing team sports. And I think we both even had a stint in track, which is obviously, you know, you do it as an individual, but you're still on a team. It matters. You get points. Did you do track?
Mm-mm.
You didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I did.
That's a lot of running.
Yeah. I didn't mind it so much. There is something about track meets that make me over the top emotional. I kid you not. I have not been to a track meet that I haven't cried at yet. You take me to the
Olympics. You cried at our daughters?
And it, yes.
Did you?
And it would be over. Like, it would just be too much for me. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but there's something about coming around that last corner and just that last street that it gets me every single time, because I know what it takes to stay in that race and to kick it into that next gear. And Oh, it does me in, you guys.
I was like that with almost at Seabiscuit. What's that one? Secretariat.
Secretariat.
When he comes around.
Yeah.
And they start reading Job.
Oh, that's the worst. Yeah, that makes me cry too.
Horses move me.
You cry all through the Olympics every time. Oh my gosh. You know what's really weird? It's like there. I feel like in America, like watching the Olympics is some kind of a patriotic duty to, and it's not something that I've ever really invested myself in. Is that ridiculous for somebody who's, you know, I don't know. I like sports. Well, but
I think because a lot of countries don't have the sporting events, all the sporting events that we do. And so this is, it's pretty serious, yeah, like, for some of these countries.
Curling. What the heck is that? Sorry, Canada. Is that a Canadian thing? Weigh in.
Yeah. Look at them all dropping off now. You make fun of them.
I know. I mean,
it's, sorry.
It is interesting. Like, there is such a difference in the, even these minor things. Like,
sports. I just find it fascinating that you're trying to control ice now. Like the speed of ice.
Trying to control the
speed. Isn't that what curling is?
Oh, I don't really actually know.
You don't know what curling is?
No,
I don't know what curling is either. Then maybe not.
Is that what it is?
Isn't that where
they're scraping the, yeah, the, I know what you're talking, yeah, about. And I like watching them do that. I don't get it. But anyway, I find the Olympics boring, but curling is awesome. So sorry, Tabitha. Is he right though? Is that what curling is? Is the one where they're like clearing the way for the, what do you even call it?
You know, they do that in America.
It's buffing the ice to get the rock to move faster. Yes, that's exactly what it is.
You know, they do that in America.
Too, I'm sure they do. just not in Kansas.
You just don't have leagues.
They're controlling the speed and direction of the puck thingy.
Did they use the broom?
I love it. Okay. Anyway, so as I was saying, the commissional ally is like
the commissional, the curling.
Yes, it's our
team sport.
Actually, I know. I mean, I was thinking like this is actually kind of a profound, a curling rock. Very good. It's just even thinking about seeing these people work together. That is some serious teamwork to get the, mm-hmm, the curling rock to move faster. Incredible. Anyway, so this is a little blurb on Commissional Ally. Inspired by a commitment to furthering the mission of Jesus Christ, we empower ministries, particularly those engaged in global outreach, by providing them with strategic communication and project management expertise. This enables them to fulfill the Great Commission effectively. In a nutshell, we know that we are called to come alongside to lighten the burden. Mm-hmm. Like, let us carry the things you don't want to, because for us, it's life. And you know what's so fascinating to me is I've talked with a few different people who are struggling in different areas, because it's just like not something. Okay, this is a movie.
Apparently. Men with brooms.
Now we have a to watch list. What was I saying?
Commingling. No.
Commingling.
I don't remember now. I got off on curling. Thanks.
I've had a few different conversations with people who have ministries.
Exactly.
Yes. Who have ministries. And, you know, like, there are things that are just really burdensome. And it's like, oh, well, let us do that. You know? And then it's so funny to me to watch the reaction to that, because there's some hesitancy to really like put that stuff off on somebody else's plate. And I don't think that it's a control issue. I think that it's a culture issue where we have gotten so accustomed to going it alone that when somebody comes alongside and they just actually want to be a teammate, to be a good teammate, to do their part well on your behalf, that it's just kind of a little bit jolting. And then they don't really know how to unpack that thing and let you run with it. And we're dead serious. Like, we really believe that this is what God has called us to do. It is a facet of what unedited life is to be able. I mean, honestly, I've got more passion to come alongside other ministries than I do to ever be known as a church. And hi, Tanya. And so it is something that we are passionate about because we know how to be good teammates. Mm-hmm. And we've actually done the team thing in all aspects, from being a head coach to being an assistant coach to being a player, a teammate, you know, all of those things we have done, and we've done well. And that's not me bragging or being haughty. It's just the truth. Mm-hmm. It's something that we do well. A team is foreign, sadly, in the church, let alone in the prophetic. Yes, 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 yes. We see actually more competition taking place than we see teamwork happening. And that's sad. It doesn't have to be that way at all. If we all actually had the same end goal in mind, which would be lifting Jesus's name high rather than your individual organization, then we might actually get somewhere.
It feels like a political thing is happening where if I don't like your beliefs, then we can't be friends. And I go to this side, you go to that side, and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And we forgot, you know, we're serving one God.
Right. You know,
it's kind of sad.
Yeah. And what we tend to do is we create team because we are created to network. We are created to coalesce. So what we do when we're not working together, we are still pulling together, but most of the time we're creating coalitions around what we don't like rather than moving together to lift high the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And it has nothing to do with our mission. It has nothing to do with our vision. It has everything to do with what has disgruntled us. And we're forming coalitions rather than moving together to complete the mission of Jesus.
We're forming Christ. Facebook warriors.
Ooh. Social media warriors. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a topic right there.
Yeah, you know, Jesus he didn't do it alone. He got his guys around him, his team, and they did it together.
Yeah.
You know, there were flaws and mess ups and redos, and it was fine. You know, they had disagreements, it was fine. You know, but they still stayed as one unit. You know, and the church has forgotten how to do that.
Yeah.
It's very sad.
Yep. Yeah. It is sad. So I think that a really great place to land is Proverbs 31. And I know that this has been used in all kinds of ways. And I know all the arguments surrounding this particular set of scriptures. And here's where we're going to go today. Do I think that there's a multifaceted use for this portion of scripture? Sure. But I really feel like God is also speaking to us in terms of the bride coming together and accomplishing much. We are actually called to union, to oneness. And right now we look very splintered. And we should, if we're going to be offended about anything, let's be offended about that, because there is a high price paid for us to be one, to move as the bride, to complement one another, to even be able to cooperate. That we're even having a hard time with cooperation, let alone oneness. And I think that if we became more oneness minded, that we would look for ways to have kingdom cooperation. And it's so much fun. It really is. It's so much fun to come alongside someone or an entire ministry. I mean, like, this is my dream. Like, let's have ministry serving ministries. right? Not just like individuals serving individuals in a follower kind of way, but let's have ministries actually serving ministries for the sake of the name of Jesus Christ. And let's have kingdom cooperation. And so we read through Proverbs 31 and just really felt like, you know, this is such a picture of what could be if we would all come together and learn how to truly be commissional, like understanding like there is one mission that we can all fall under. Yes, individual ministries will have their own mission, but it should complement the mission, right? To make much of Jesus Christ. And let's push those lesser things aside, the things that we disagree on. There's always going to be things to disagree about. Always. Mm-hmm. But let's like push those things to the side and start like getting hungry for the things that we can agree about. And I even feel like daring you, like support a ministry. And that's not me asking for you to support a ministry financially, but how can you come alongside and make them be great? These are the things that Jesus did. I mean, like, I love the part, there's a couple different spaces in Psalms where it says that God stooped low. David says that God stooped low to make me great. And if it is not too much for God to stoop low to make us great, which he has, then what are we doing, you guys? Like, let's stoop low to make each other great. So do you want to read this or do you want me to?
No, go ahead. Okay. But as she's reading this, we're going to start in verse 10. You know, it's talking about who can find, the first verse is who can find a wife. Just think of the wife as the church.
Yeah, the bride.
The bride.
The bride.
Okay.
We said it before. Mm-hmm. And we'll say it again. Jesus is coming back for a bride, not a harem. Pull it together, people.
Yep.
Okay, 31:10, Proverbs 31:10. Who can find a wife of noble character? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will not lack anything good. She rewards him with good, not evil, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from far away. She rises while it is still night and provides food for her household and portions for her female servants. She evaluates a field and buys it. She plants a vineyard with her earnings. She draws on her strength and reveals that her arms are strong. She sees that her profits are good and her lamp never goes out at night. She extends her hands to the spinning staff, and her hands hold the spindle. Her hands reach out to the poor, and she extends her hands to the needy. She is not afraid for her household when it snows, for all in her household are doubly clothed. She makes her own bed coverings. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known at the city gates, where he sits among the elders of the land. She makes and sells linen garments. She delivers belts to the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she can laugh at the time to come. Her mouth speaks wisdom, and loving instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the activities of her household and is never idle. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. Many women have done noble deeds, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. Give her the reward of her labor and let her works praise her at the city gates. Hmm. Fascinating. Fascinating to consider this in terms of what the bride can accomplish when she is cooperating as one.
Mm-hmm. Everything that a church should desire to do is in that in that chapter, what she just read, you know, feeding the poor, we're clothing, you know, we're not worried when it snows and gets bad out because it's already been taken care of. You know, are you surrounded with people that are such a one mind that when something bad goes down, one person's not trying to take care of the whole thing? Everybody shows up.
Yeah. The bride is multifaceted. Mm-hmm. She's multifaceted. She's capable of so much. However, when we're all moving in opposite directions, it doesn't complement our husband who sits at the gate. And I think for him to be able to take his position at the gate of the city, it takes us moving together as one and doing our part, owning our portion. I can't do it all. You can't do it all. I know that you have a heart to do it all. I do too. But we have to learn what our portion is and do that well. And right now for us, that looks like coming alongside other ministries as a ministry and making them look great. Mm-hmm. That's us stooping down. We want to stoop low to make other ministries look great, to take off the burden of the things that maybe they don't do well and do those well so they're free to do the things that they are called to do.
Mm-hmm. And so, we also train, you know, you train them.
Yeah.
So that burden doesn't become a burden no more. It becomes something, oh, I can do this.
Yeah.
You know, I can stand on my own 2 feet now with this because somebody came alongside me and helped me.
Yeah. And I think that the days that we're moving into, because we are very slowly, I know it's been difficult to transition from the church age into the kingdom age. We're going to begin to have a better understanding of everything that is included in the kingdom that we've you know, been inside of such a tightly closed off box that we have just believed that church is just relegated to a Sunday. Or, and if you're one who practices the second Sabbath, a Wednesday, that's it, that's all that the church is made up of. And really when Jesus said to the disciples that upon this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. When he said that, he's talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because remember, he says to Peter, he's like, oh my gosh, you didn't know this. You,
Father in heaven, sir. Yeah.
You just got revelation, buddy. And the revelation upgraded him. It brought him into a new space. He was Simon, 1 second, has a revelation, and boom, now he is the rock because of the revelation that he was carrying. And so what we will begin to see is that anything that is emitting the revelation of Jesus Christ will be known as a kingdom ambassador, something that is carrying the essence of the king. And so when you think of a kingdom, we need to start thinking in fullness and not just like, oh, well, it's just going to be the expression of the church of preaching and worshiping and praying and that sort of thing. All good. I am not dissing any of that, because those are all important things. But you're going to begin to see all of those things happening within the what we would refer to as the marketplace. A kingdom is made up of many different things, just like Proverbs 31 lays out this multifaceted movement of this bride, and she's capable of doing all of these things, and that is the kingdom cooperation that we're talking about. And so we need to have eyes to see and really, like, let's not judge by what our ears hear or what our eyes see. If Lisa and I were talking about this yesterday, and we have a perception problem. We are actually not perceiving things correctly. We think that we are, and I get it. I'm in the same box. I'm not, this is not me saying this is all on you. You need to learn to perceive better. That's not what I'm saying. We have so relied on our eyes and our ears that we have judged everything based on what we've heard and what we've seen. And God is like, no, that's not the way. Like, we need wisdom and we need the fear of the Lord to even be able to rightly perceive things. We have built entire ministries upon our perception alone. And it's like building on the sand. Mm-hmm. It's not going to stand. And so we need wisdom and we need the fear of the Lord to be able to even rightly perceive things. And we need to know what the essence of Jesus Christ is, or we will fall for everything. I was listening to a teaching on discipleship, and I was really leaning in and wanting to discern what it was that God wanted me to gain from it. And it was a pretty lengthy teaching. And guys, not once did the teaching offering the requirement to be a disciple. There is a cost to being a disciple, that you would lay down your life to follow Christ. Do you remember the scriptures where Jesus is calling people and they're like, yeah, but, and Jesus is like, let the dead bury their own.
But that went over really good.
leave your father and your mother and come follow me. Like, you no longer, do you remember what Jesus said to his own mother?
Ha! I have no mother.
Jesus knew the cost of following the Father, and he puts it on display beautifully. And so we've got to better discern what it is that we're listening to and not be so easily moved by different exploits and fancy talk. Because if we're talking about discipleship and it never once comes into the conversation, the requirement of laying your life down, ooh, I got to challenge that. We need to be people who are so tuned in to the Spirit of God that we can even discern the words that are coming out of each other's mouths. Let's challenge one another, not for the sake of being challenging, but for the sake of the kingdom, that we would all stand with pure hearts and clean hands. Because those are the ones that can ascend the mountain of the Lord. And that's where we're headed. We're going up the mountain of the Lord. But it will require clean hands and a pure heart. And we cannot get there if we do not have a requirement of each other that we lose our life. Listen, I'm so guilty. Guilty. Can we just be those people who, when there is guilt or condemnation or conviction that comes along, that we're just like, oh, you're right, I'm guilty. And if it is condemnation, oh, you're right, I'm guilty. If it is conviction, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit, I'm guilty. Because guess what? With our guilt, there is the covering of the blood of Jesus, where we can stand and not be ashamed to be like, oh yeah, I did. I missed that. Guilty. Right? Like, let's just be quick to take care of these things.
You know, the church has got such a bad reputation that we don't know how to talk to people anymore. And the response is that, oh, I'm guilty. I want to change. You know, and it talks in here about her mouth speaks wisdom and loving instruction is on her tongue. Loving, you know, and the church has forgot what that's like. They don't know how to
rebuke per se, or to bring somebody else in line without like destroying them.
So wishy-washy.
It's wishy-washy. Yeah. And people despise the church because the church makes them feel this big, you know, and the goal is to be with Jesus, not your agenda.
Yeah.
You know, we can't, like, you know, I was kind of making fun of the Facebook warriors, but that's a serious problem. You know, when we disagree with something, we get on Facebook and type out this response and, you know, look, I did my job for the day. You proud of me, Jesus? What's that? Where's the pride for Jesus to have in you doing something like that to tear somebody down on social media? Was there love involved in that? Or I hope you read what I said. You know, we've got to be so careful. And trust me, I'm guilty. I have written some stuff out and I've always deleted it. Because, you know, it's not, you know, the conviction of the Lord's usually, oh man, I don't want to get into a 2-day argument with this person. But we do. We have to be so careful. You know, if everything doesn't lead back to the cross, then we're doing a poor job.
Mm-hmm. True. Augustine says this about verse 26. She has opened her mouth with care and imposed order on her tongue, praising creatures as creatures, the creator as creator, angels as angels, heavenly things as heavenly, earthly things as earthly, men as men, animals as animals, nothing mixed up, nothing out of order, not taking the name of the Lord her God in vain, not attributing the nature of a creature to the creator, speaking about everything so methodically that she doesn't put lesser things above the more important or subordinate the more important to the lesser.
That's good.
It's a good quote. Keeping the order of things right. It's good. Thank you, Augustine. Know your part. I think that's important that we know our part. And I think it's also important that our imagination not get ahead of our call. Like, what's your portion for right now? David said that your boundary lines have fallen for me in lofty places. He celebrated the boundary lines that God laid for him. Are you doing the same? Or are you reaching? Are you grasping for things that you're not actually ready for? I've done that. But I think we can trust God's timing. We can trust his boundary lines. Walk them. Seriously, like walk the boundary lines he's laid for you. Become familiar. If you're standing in the middle of your boundaries, you're never going to know everything that's actually there. When we are looking for things that are beyond our portion right now, we're actually coveting something that's not ours. And that's one of the 10 big no-nos.
I'm roping off on you.
So stay in your portion, mm-hmm. and work it well. Work it well. What else do you have? Not a whole lot.
Not a whole lot.
Is that Christopher?
Hi, Christopher.
Oh my gosh. Ugh, what a guy.
I enjoy him.
I do too. Christopher, you are enjoyed by us. All right, guys. I think we've said all we need to say. Mm-hmm. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah. Hey, be praying for us. Our conference is coming up, and like we talked about earlier.
Yes.
It's exciting.
It is exciting.
So.
And so what we've learned here today is how to curl and how to come alongside. And how to come alongside one another. Oh my gosh. Like really be investigating that. Ask the Lord how you can come alongside and make somebody else great. That's the call. Let's compliment each other.
I know that I'm too immature for anything other than my little what?
I have no idea. Anyway, so guys, have a great rest of your Wednesday, wherever you are at in your day, and we'll talk soon.
Yep. Oh, that's me. One of these days, you're going to realize I'm not even here when I do this part. Bye.